720 WGN, the Wintrust Business Lunch. Good afternoon, everyone. 1208. We are 18 floors above the Chicago River and Wacker Drive. Okay, so you heard John Williams kind of mention what's happening. My name's John Hanson. I'm just filling in here this week for Jisoo Gee, who'll be taking over next week. Our great Steve Bertrand is in the newsroom here, and he's not going anywhere, so we are all settled up, and we've got some familiar faces here to start things off for the week. Say good Monday afternoon to Jim Dahlke, Catherine Davis from Chicago Inno. Guys, thanks for joining us.
Hey, John.
All right, so the holiday season is here, and I was kind of looking for something like this. I loved Small Business Saturday, trying to come up with cool gift ideas, going shopping store to store, and I went up in the Lincoln Square neighborhood, did a little shopping myself, but also Small Entrepreneur Saturday, or I guess something to do for whatever day we want to name this day of the week. Really cool list you guys wrote up of local entrepreneurs that have some things that we can buy.
Yeah, so every year we like to do a gift guide, kind of, you know, rounding up items to buy from local startups, local tech companies. We found about 13 this year that we think are worth venturing out for. And one of those is one we've talked about before, but they're called Curl Mix. And local entrepreneurs making like curly hair products. So I have curly hair, okay. So this one resonates with me.
That's why you started with that one. Mm-hmm.
But they're pretty cool because they were on Shark Tank. And, you know, they've been kind of growing steadily here in Chicago. I know their bootstrapped, and they're a cool company.
Yeah. All right. The one that caught my eye is sweatpants you can wear to work, okay, while we're talking about personal things. Because I've seen bigger companies do these sorts of, like, the more casual look, but I'm looking at a picture, and this is Public Rec, this company that does this. So stylish, you wouldn't even know they were sweatpants. Are you wearing them right now, Jim, or what?
No, I've got jeans on, unfortunately, but this is on my shopping list this year. Yeah, Public Rec is a Chicago-based company. They kind of took off back in 2015 on Kickstarter, and look, you know, sweatpants that you can wear to work is the headline that basically writes itself. So it got picked up by a ton of national outlets and yeah, has kind of built that sort of Kickstarter success into a full-fledged business here. And so they have a range of different clothes, not just pants, but also kind of hoodies as well. But yeah, kind of their bread and butter, their product that they're best known for is a very, very comfortable sweatpant, but that's also very stylish that you can pull off in the office.
There's some jeans on the list there as well. I won't go through the whole thing, but I teased it, so I got to ask. What a plug for Oprah to say it's her favorite cocktail maker. Tell us about this one.
Yeah, this is Bartesian. This is a basically the Keurig, but for cocktails. So Oprah included this just in her recent 2019 favorite things list. So the big Oprah bump here for a Chicago startup. And yeah, basically what they have created is this countertop device that allows you to put in a pod, just like you would for a coffee and a Keurig, but make instead of a strong coffee, a strong old-fashioned.
Okay, here's my question, though. How hard is it to mix a couple of drinks together? Although, I guess, how hard is it to make a cup of coffee?
Exactly. It's all about efficiency, John.
So it has all the ingredients in the pod.
The pod has everything you need to kind of make the booze, make the drink. You provide your own alcohol. So for an old-fashioned, for example, the pod has the perfect amount of bitters that you need. And then you put in the alcohol in the water and then press a button and you got your drink.
I imagine that makes sense, too, from a retail standpoint. They don't have to worry about carting people just for getting these little cups and stuff like that if you supply the booze. All right, let's talk about these lab-grown diamonds. I'm not a diamond person, per se, so I guess I'm not shocked that I didn't know that you can grow diamonds in a lab. Talk us through this one.
Yeah, so mine, they're a new Chicago startup. They launched just in September. But basically what they're doing is creating jewelry in-house from diamonds they outsource from labs that are growing their own diamonds. So, you know, we wanted to write about them because, you know, the lab-grown diamond trend is kind of growing, you know, as people are looking for more ethical ways to buy just about everything. Mm-hmm. Mine definitely fits into that category.
Yeah, and, you know, it's something that for people that really are into diamonds, I mean, can a jeweler tell? Is there, like, a key difference between them, or does it end up looking the same as other ones?
So, the founders told me that really the only way to tell the difference is to really do kind of, like, a DNA test on the diamond. But, you know, the analogy that they kind of explained to me, which I thought was really helpful, was that it's kind of like ice that happens in a freezer or that is outside. It's still ice. It's physically, chemically, it's all the same. It's just kind of the method that it's grown. And so it's still a relatively small piece of the market. Lab-grown diamonds represent 2-3% of the diamond market, but it's growing and growing quickly. Leonardo DiCaprio is backed a startup that's raised about $100 million in funding. The movie Blood Diamond, I think, shed a lot of light kind of on the precarious nature of diamond mining, and the dangerousness kind of the industry as well. And so I think a lot of younger people, a lot of millennials, are kind of interested in kind of where their diamonds are coming from, and knowing that their diamond is grown in kind of like an ethical lab is something that's appealing to a lot of especially younger buyers. And so this startup Mine kind of focuses on the more affordable range, so 300 to 600 level jewelry. So these are not huge stones. These are kind of half carat and below diamonds that they're incorporating in their jewelry. And so founded by a couple of guys who have family jewelry shops down on Jewelers Row, and kind of created this this startup that's offering lab-grown diamonds.
That's right stuff. Okay, we're going to go through more of this list with Jim Dahlke and Catherine Davis and a few other stories as well. Okay, continuing the conversation with the folks from Chicago Inno, Catherine Davis and Jim Dahlke. We're going through a list of 13 unique finds from local entrepreneurs. Catherine, what other ones do we want to hit up here?
Yeah, so one that we wanted to point out is a CBD startup, you know. Legalization of recreational marijuana is right around the corner. CBD has become super popular and it's kind of all the rage right now. And so this local company, Equilibria, is creating CBD gels, oils, and creams that are kind of specifically for women. So the idea is that these products can help with anxiety, sleep, menstrual cramp relief, and kind of a host of other issues where people find them helpful.
Yeah, I was wondering where the only for women thing was until you got to the third item on your list, and then it made a little bit more sense. All right, enough of what's for the ladies, Jim Dahlke. We got skincare built for a man now, you say.
That's right. So a Chicago startup called Bottle Code is creating personalized skincare products. So kind of what that means is they let you go on their website and answer about 15 questions about kind of your lifestyle. Everything from how much sleep are you getting, how much stress are you seeing, to how old you are, what is your climate like, what are your typical issues with skincare in terms of, is your skin super oily, is it super dry? And
like so when you wake up in the morning, what does your face feel like? Stuff like that.
Exactly. So rather than just sort of stare at the store shelf looking at all the different kind of products you can get, they kind of personalize the skincare regimen just for you. And for guys who, you know, maybe you're like me, who have absolutely no idea what kind of skincare I need, this is super helpful. So that company is called Bottle Code.
Yeah, that makes sense, because like I've gone through like at CVS, I'm like, oh, I have dry skin, I've been scratching my legs a lot, and I just look at this whole display of bottles, I'm like, I don't know. I just usually end up getting the most expensive one because I assume that's the best, but my wall probably isn't happy. So what's the name of that one again?
That's Bottle Code.
Bottle Code.
Yeah, and they're among a kind of a growing group of companies that are targeting men in skincare, because just because you're a man doesn't mean that you don't need to take care of your skin, right? And we're starting to see actually a lot of startups kind of pop up in this industry and sort of target men specifically, kind of get them focused on their skincare.
That makes sense. All right, let's shift gears here, and then you can find more of the list, obviously, at Chicago. I know Tankless Water Heater. I can't even say, well, how do you pronounce their name?
Intellihot.
Intellihot. Well, now it makes more sense. A tankless water heater, which I'm sure people out there already know. I'm sure Lou Manfredini is going to yell at me for saying that. I didn't even know those existed as a thing. And I imagine that, that they're a little bit more, I don't know, economical. They're a little greener. But I didn't know that they could do these for big buildings. First of all, I didn't know they existed. Second of all, I didn't know they could do it for big buildings, too.
Totally. So, yeah, I mean, I was, you know, moved into a new house about 3 years ago, me and my wife, and we needed a new water heater. Ours was going to blow. And, you know, when you go to Lowe's, you see the whole shelf lined with different kinds of water heaters. And you see the kind of traditional tanked ones. But then there's also the tankless water heaters which are smaller, a little more economically friendly and environmentally friendly. And you know, one thing that is interesting that Intellihot is doing, so they're not doing residential, they're doing commercial. And they have really exploded. So they have provided tankless water heaters for companies like Facebook and Google and SpaceX.
Oh, for their campuses.
Right. And so what they're also working for, too, is big hotel chains like Marriott and Hilton. And so really what Intellihot says it can do is kind of provide tankless water heaters for, you know, 20-unit condominiums up to Las Vegas-style hotels. So really being able to kind of provide a solution that heats water on demand. So rather than having to keep water in these giant tanks, always running heat and kind of running up your bill there, what they're able to do is heat water immediately and save a couple bucks in the long term for these companies.
I can't even get my water heater at home to work. It takes 10 minutes to get it up to 200 degrees for some coffee. I imagine that being a company that is obviously advanced in these sorts of technologies, they say that you can control it from your phone? Like you can actually, the temperatures and all that sort of
stuff?
That's
right. So they have an accompanying app. So companies who use the Intellihot water heater have access to kind of the updates of everything that's going on. So the maintenance of it, there's predictive maintaining that's included in the app as well. So they know when something might fail within the water heater as well. They can monitor everything from their phone, really. So really kind of bringing water heaters into the 21st century. There has not really been a major improvement kind of in the water heater industry for commercial buildings in the last 100 years. And so that's kind of what Intellihot has seen. They are located in kind of downstate in sort of an office in sleepy Galesburg, mm-hmm. Illinois. But their CEO told me that early 2020, they're opening a suburban headquarters just outside of Chicago. So trying to tap into the local talent here just in Chicago, and also open a showroom and an opportunity for customers to fly into O'Hare, see the IntelliHot machines kind of in person and get a sense of it, and it kind of be able to kind of visualize this stuff firsthand.
Tap into it. Did you do that on purpose there, Jim?
There we go.
You just strolled right into that one. All right, let's talk about Sprout Social. We've talked about it before on the show. Big news for them this morning, right, Catherine?
Yeah. So Sprout Social, they're a local company that they've created like a social media management platform. So you can schedule tweets, Facebook posts, et cetera, using their software.
Is it like Hootsuite? That one I know.
It's similar, okay. Yeah, in a lot of ways. And, you know, they were in the news today because they set the terms for their initial public offering. They could raise up to $160 million.
Wow.
So offering about 8.82 million shares, expected to price between $16 and $18 a share.
That's big news for them.
It is, and it's big news for Chicago because this is really the first VC-backed Chicago startup to IPO since Grubhub 5 years ago. So there has not been a ton of activity when it comes to Chicago tech startups being venture-backed and then ultimately going public. We've seen a couple of IPOs. One was Cambrium Networks, which was a spinoff from Motorola. So no, not the typical kind of startup story you hear about. So interesting for Chicago, interesting for their local investors, which include Lightbank, which is the VC fund from the Groupon founders. And these are the kinds of startup success stories that kind of create wealth within startup communities, right? These are the things that we write about and that you hope for when you kind of launch a startup and you sort of build a startup community. And so the idea here is that this could be, you know, really one of the bright points in Chicago tech, you know, over the last decade.
Not being an entrepreneur or someone that's created anything of anything, but I can't even imagine what a day like this is like when they finally go public. That must be like one of the most nerve-wracking things for any entrepreneur or any company. I mean, you hope for good things and there's positive vibes, but you never know.
Exactly. And this is interesting, too, because this is, you know, they're in marketing tech, which is kind of a new industry, right? And we haven't seen a ton of IPOs within this industry. So I think the tech world and the marketing industry overall will be keeping a close eye on Sprout Social and see how this goes. I mean, the IPO market for technology businesses has been a little dicey, right? We saw what happened with WeWork.
Yes.
That thing totally bailed. So the Lyft and Uber have not had super strong showings in the public market as well. So I think that, you know, Sprout Social certainly is testing the public waters at a very interesting time. Be curious to kind of see how their stock price changes over the next few months.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so it is Cyber Monday. We can't leave without talking about some of the items that maybe you guys are looking at, not necessarily only locally, but of course the country. What are people looking at here around their lunch hour?
Yeah, well, you know, the thing about Cyber Monday is it kind of started historically as a time where, you know, Black Friday, you're actually in the stores mm-hmm. doing shopping in brick and mortar, and then Cyber Monday, everyone, the idea is
back
you're back
work.
At work
yeah.
and you're on your computer doing online shopping.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been interesting to see how the trends have changed since now a lot of people are just shopping on their phones, right? And people are buying things online all the time, not just today. But, you know, we have one particular article here talking about what the kind of the tech things you can find at Target, for instance, right?
Okay.
And so the idea is that, you know, just because you're not seeing something on sale like on Apple.com doesn't mean that that same product isn't on sale at other retailers.
So if you go directly to the retailer site itself or to the place to find it, that's where you might find the better deals.
The key really is to shop around, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're looking for a MacBook, the best deal might not necessarily be on Apple. You might be able to find it better on Amazon or Best Buy. And so I would encourage people, if they have a specific product in mind, to check out the retailer site specifically and then all the deal sites as well. And so definitely shop around. You can get several different deals. So the Sonos Play 5, which is a speaker, is on sale today for $399. It's usually $499. The Sonos One is down to $149, usually $200. So there are definitely tech deals out there, especially in the speaker market. Lots to check out. So we would encourage people that if you're interested in doing some Cyber Monday deals, shop around, right?
Yeah.
Check a lot of different outlets. And then, you know, it's interesting. You'll see, I'll be curious to see how retailers extend the deals beyond today. I mean, this is the shortest shopping season, I think, since 2013 with, you know, Thanksgiving and Black Friday falling so late in the month of November. And so be curious to kind of see how retailers incentivize shoppers to continue the online purchasing beyond even just today.
Yeah, and if you're worried about getting caught at work, learn what incognito mode is on your Chrome Outlook or your Chrome device. That'll help you search around without the boss seeing what you're doing. Guys, that's great stuff. Catherine and Jim, where can people find out more information about all that you guys do?
You can find out more at chicagoinno.com, and there you can sign up for the Beat, our daily email newsletter.
All right, we'll talk to you next week, guys. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, John.
All right, quick commercial break, then the news on WGN. WGN. Happy Monday afternoon, everyone. 12:35. Boy, we had some sunshine. It's clouded over here, at least in downtown Chicago. Hope you're having a good back-to-work Monday after what was hopefully a nice, long four-day weekend. All right, we're shifting gears here a little bit, talking with Elise Glink, a familiar voice here on WGN Radio. You know her and love her from thinklink.com. Elise, thanks for joining us here today.
Nice to be here, John.
Yeah, and let's talk. During the news that Steve Bertrand gave us, he talked to the folks over at BBB about scams that people know about or, you know, fallen victim to and things that they can do about it. I was reading through these five common holiday scams article that you have at thinklink.com, and I had never heard of the first one, Secret Sister. What is this?
You know, this is like, you know, kind of a new version of an old scam where the Secret Sister gift campaign exchange is for Facebook users, and it promises that if you send out 36 gifts, you will receive 36 gifts if you send out one gift valued at $10. And I think that's one of the ones that the Better Business Bureau was talking about, because when you're sending in that one $10 gift, you're also sending them all your personal financial information, your email, and scammers use that to basically scam you.
So it's it looks like it's this great thing, and then of course it isn't, which I guess is often that common rule. If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is.
Well, you're never going to get, you know, 36 gifts for sending in one, and you shouldn't even do this at all, is basically what we're saying.
Yeah, for
sure. Take a pass.
I've seen the coupon scams. There are a lot of people sharing fake ones on Facebook, and it always seemed more annoying than anything like a scam. But I guess that if you're oversharing or you're clicking on links to coupons that, you know, don't exist or do exist, it can get you in trouble.
It can, and there are some legitimate sites where you can get coupons. Coupons.com is one of those that has been more reliable over the years. But just kind of clicking on random ads from places, not such a great idea. And, of course, it's always a good idea to double-check ahead of time to make sure that the coupon or the ad code is accepted on the retailer's website. That's how everybody discovered that the Costco one was fake, because they went there and it was like, wait, that doesn't work. I'm not getting my money back.
Right. Let's talk about stealing packages. I was just reading a story this morning on The Jam about how Chicago ranks as number three for holiday package thefts, and they tracked it using FBI data, and also the fact that Chicagoans Google the terms package thefts more than most other cities. It's just, I think, part of the fact of living in the city and even in the suburbs, too. What are some ways we can save our packages? Because, boy, they're coming in droves now.
They are. In fact, we're worried that at our office today we might have had a holiday package theft, which would be awful. You really have to understand when you're getting packages. If somebody sends you a tracking code, you can click through that to any, you know, FedEx or UPS or even the post office and see when that package is supposed to be delivered. A lot of people I know have installed Ring, which is the doorbell that allows you to take video and talk to people as they're delivering packages. It also, you know, allows you to see where your packages are and if anybody's taking them. And so there's some definite ways that you can protect yourself. But knowing when you're supposed to be getting packages, that's an important thing. And if you're giving packages and sending them through the mail for this holiday season, please let everybody know that you know what the tracking codes are so they can track it on their end as well.
Yeah, that sounds smart. The other thing that I've, you know, there's the locker drop-offs now that they're doing. I would say send it to work, but you had someone, do you know which coworker it was, or do you think it was a stranger?
Well, I think it was a stranger.
Okay.
You know, Amazon does have package pickup at some places for no extra charge. And if you're buying clothes and you can pick them up at the local retailer's store, that might be a better way to go than just having, you know, 25 packages, you know, piling up outside your door while you're at work or out shopping. It's just too much of a temptation these days.
I got to admit, so we live in a condo, not a huge one, but it has like 13 units, and we all get buzzed for every single delivery so that the guy or gal delivering can get in and out. That makes sense. But boy, I always want to say, I should probably just go check out the window to make sure that truck is really there.
Well, one of the things that we're seeing is in new higher-end buildings, new construction, but also on campuses, too, they're now creating package rooms. And so all packages that get delivered are immediately put by the delivery company into a locked room. Now, all the residents would have access to that room, but at least it gets it off of the street and into a place that's a little bit more secure. So chalk one up to the real estate developers.
I'm kind of surprised. A new survey, or a national survey, found that 80%, more than 80% of sponsored search sites offering pets for sale were fraudulent. I didn't know people would just Google, where can I buy a pet? But I guess that just seems like something people would do. So be wary of that, too.
Yeah, that's another weird scam. And people giving gifts for, like, of pets from online stores. And that to me is just,
that's
go
weird.
To a rescue operation.
Yes,
please go there and please allow somebody the benefit of deciding for themselves whether they're ready to have a pet and take on that responsibility before you just gift somebody a pet.
Right. Identity theft, obviously something important as we think about, boy, all the online shopping we're doing, all that information that's going to be out there. I probably heard commercials for this sort of thing. I didn't quite know what it was or not, but identity theft insurance, how does it work? Does it work? Do you recommend it?
I like identity theft insurance a lot, and there's you have to be careful who you get it from. All of the major credit reporting bureaus like Equifax, Experian, TransUnion, they all offer some versions of it, and there's different levels of version. You've got LifeLock that offers it. Many banks are now giving it to you as part of your accounts that you have with them. I think that can really benefit people, and you do want to be careful if your credit card offers you an online shopping one-time use card with a number that, you know, then just goes bad after the one time you use it. You may want to take them up on it. That was a cool little nifty idea that came out from Discover Card a number of years ago. But if you're getting, you know, to protect yourself, you really want to look for, if you're shopping online, mismatched subject lines and emails, logos that are pixelated, you know, emails that just don't read correctly. There's spelling and typo errors in them. Maybe the word choice seems a little strange to you. Be aware of all of those things, because that's what a scam email looks like. And you definitely today on Cyber Monday don't want to click on one of those.
Yeah, I feel like it's like if you feel like your little ping spidey sense goes up, even if just one of them goes up, I would say trust that sort of thing. Also on thinklink.com, I saw, you know, we were talking about the idea of what happens if you do get scammed, the recourse from it. I'm listening or reading a Q&A you did this a while ago, but the idea of, oh, it looks like I might have gotten scammed. How do I get out of it? Do you have any advice for people that have been scammed? I imagine it's a confidence thing that kind of breaks down that trust, but trying to work through that.
It is hard, and I think really everybody has now gotten one of those emails or letters that says, we think that your personal information may have been compromised, and then your heart stops beating for a few moments as you wonder if everything you've ever worked for has disappeared. I do think that people should be very cautious and careful, and there are some things to do if your identity has been stolen. The very first thing to do, of course, is to make sure the three credit reporting bureaus know, and you can file a fraud alert for free at all of those, at Experian, Equifax, TransUnion. In fact, if you file it just one, within 24 hours, they're supposed to notify the other major credit reporting agencies. So that's the first thing to do, because it shuts it down. You'll also should notify your bank immediately so that they put a higher level of security on your account and they watch it. And you may even want to place your social security number, freeze it, which you can do at the three credit reporting bureaus. So think about doing kind of a proactive approach to managing your own identity and just being careful. And then the last thing I would say is, when you get your bill, pay it right away. Go online, you know, make sure that the bank has a clear connection to your credit card account, pay that bill online, get it out off the table right away, and make sure you check your charges so that if there is something in there that you didn't authorize, you catch it right away.
Yeah, and you would be surprised. It probably happens more than you think. It's not often a big dollar amount, but there's something there, and the earlier you can spot it, the better. Elise Klink, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thanks so much.
Yeah, have a good one. Elise Klink of thinklink.com. By the way, had a quick text saying, what are the locker for drop-offs? UPS does it. I know Amazon does it, where they actually give you a code to locker nearby, maybe at a 7-Eleven or some other facility, maybe a grocery store. They've got a bunch of cubbies there. You use the code on your phone or some sort of keypad pin. You enter it so that the locker opens up, and there's your package. It's a pretty nifty way to do it, and you don't usually have to walk too far. Okay, more coming up on the Winter's Business Lunch. John Hanson here until 1 o'clock here. Just one more segment with the wonderful Amy Guth. How are you doing, Amy?
Hello. How are you?
Doing very well. Let's jump right into things. You had a chat with Adi Quigg, great reporter, about things that are going on with the mayor in the first 100 days, and just very poignant here today. And she's scheduled to be on with Anna DeVellantes at 2:15. What'd you learn?
The mayor or Adi?
The mayor.
Okay.
Yes.
I mean, she wins either way.
Yes.
Both are great guests.
Yes.
Yes. AD is a reporter at Crane Chicago Business. She covers politics and government, so she's very, very busy today. Earlier this morning, she had this wonderful story. She FOIA'd the mayor's schedule for her first 100 days in office and then used that and broke the data out by personal time off, meals, breaks, meetings, office time, you know, all this neat stuff. And it's really fascinating. So she has this cool data chart available at chicagobusiness.com. But I talked to her about that. But right before we were about to talk, the announcement comes about Adi Johnson. So, you know, what was different about this? Usually the mayor will say, or the mayor's office anyway, will say, at so-and-so time, the mayor will make an announcement about XYZ. It just said, we'll make an announcement. Like,
not what
period.
It was about.
It didn't say what it was about. So everybody kind of gathered to see what that was about. And, you know, the mayor was, you know, pretty visibly angry. You know, she had some feelings going on about this announcement and announced that Mayor Adi Johnson had been fired and that she wouldn't have had quite the celebration of his retirement had she known then what she knows now.
Yeah, it was one of the few things she was able to say with any details, I guess you could say, that she would, if she had known what she knew then. No, I messed that up in my head. You know what I'm saying?
The one, yeah.
The one.
Yeah.
What about her schedule? Was there any, like, one little nugget that you found more interesting than the others, or do we have to go online to?
Well, you know, AD kind of talks about that today on Daily Gist. So I recommend you listen to it because she really, I asked her that very question, like, what was surprising?
Yeah.
You know, some things were redacted that were, in fact, public that we all know. What I thought was interesting was looking at, because it's broken out by date, and so you have 100 dates. She eats meals pretty late. She doesn't take a ton of time off. AD marked it, this is the point after 8 hours of working. So she works a lot of late nights. She's a hardworking person. But, you know, her priorities really are about police accountability, and it shows in her schedule, and that, you know, mashes up with today's news.
Sure does. Pot, day one in Michigan, in the books, already on to, what now, day number two here.
That's right.
Any big news out of there? Any lessons that we can learn from Michigan's rollout versus ours?
Well, and I think that's what people did right away, thinking, oh, that's our neighbor state. It'll go the same way. There's some key differences to think about. So yesterday it became, you know, you could buy recreational adult use marijuana in certain parts of the state. So that's difference number one. We're going statewide. Illinois is going for it January 1st. In Michigan, it was only Ann Arbor. Detroit is waiting until at least January 31st.
Okay.
And the highest number of medical dispensaries are in Detroit. So, you know, some places and owners were saying, this is pandemonium. There's hundreds of people, even at 5 p.m. We're afraid of we're going to run out. Because what they did was, people who had an inventory for medical sales were able to legally reclassify half of it as recreational sales.
Okay.
As of the minute it became, so as of, you know, midnight on Sunday.
As a percentage of their sales.
Correct.
Okay.
Right. So they had to physically take tags off of the medical and put it on recreational. So, you know, there's a couple of differences the way that went. They also sped up their process. They only announced on November 19th they were going to do this on this date. They sped this up.
Wow.
So there was only 3 license holders in Ann Arbor. On Friday, 3 more got licenses, but obviously they're not open at that point. They're not ready to roll. So we're going to see what's happening in Ann Arbor for a while, and then later in January, we'll see what's happening in Detroit. But so not quite apples and oranges when we're comparing the two states' process or approach.
This next topic deserves way more than the 90 seconds we're going to have to kind of chat about it here, but public transit accessibility. Maybe we're lagging behind some other places, and really we aren't doing enough here to make sure that everyone can ride and the buses and trains that we have in our city.
Yeah, this is a topic that I've been really interested in for years and years, so I followed this story with great interest. The Metropolitan Planning Council, they issued this report saying that, you know, we've talked to a lot of folks, from senior citizens with potentially limited mobility in a range of things to people with disabilities. And sometimes the public transportation here, and not just in Cook County, but in the county surrounding it, in the burbs, sometimes we don't serve people well. We don't do a good job. So they've made some recommendations, including appointing like a czar of mobility and working more closely, having like Uber and Lyft work more closely with Metra with scheduling. So you wouldn't have to necessarily wait some time, you know, between rides or on your last mile home. You could kind of plan that out a little bit better. So it's a really interesting topic, but, you know, dug into that a bit today on Daily Gist as well.
Yeah, I imagine that having a czar, a lot of people will probably roll their eyes, oh, what's one person going to do? But if you at least have someone focused on that, that probably means that anytime there's thoughts of redoing a station platform, or if there's thoughts of redoing a station, or whatever the case may be, at least someone is putting eyes on that topic.
That's right. That's exactly right. And there were some things that seemed obvious, like, okay, making sure there's different ways the announcements at Union Station come out, that like some are visible, some are verbalized, that there has to be a lot of ways to do that. You know, and also that person, if there is a mobility czar at some point, that person could also make sure that money earmarked for that could also be legally used for other purposes, actually gets used for accessibility on stations and on public transportation.
All right, where can people find the Daily Gist and all this more?
Well, you can subscribe on iTunes and Spotify and Stitcher, or you can go to WGN Plus, or just over to Crane's Chicago Business and get that afternoon. Although they're great newsletters, they give you so much information, but the afternoon one always has a link to it.
I mean, you gave us so many options here, Amy.
I know.
Come on, people, let's get at it. All right, Amy Good, thanks so much for stopping on by.
Thanks so much.
All right, the news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.